then how do you help somebody in 33 minutes, you know? Like, what can you say in 33 minutes that could help somebody? Or how can you help a company that needs help, you see? And so I thought we would just do that together so you could see. If you had a half hour or 45 minutes to help somebody, then what would you do? What would you say, right? And I thought I would take you through that because it's very valuable to know. And it's not on the agenda, okay? I just think it would be helpful for everybody. So even at British Airways with some pretty skeptical people sitting there, we had a pre-meeting. We had to have a... They checked us out first. We had to do a half-hour presentation to some of the executives. So if it were me, I would say, you know, we are trained in a monastery for 25 years, very strictly and very, you know, every day is a lot of pressure and it's difficult. And it doesn't let up. And then if you had to summarize all that training in a half an hour, this is what it would be, you know? The idea is that we don't understand how things happen or what causes the events around us and why we meet the people we meet and why things happen in our lives, that we don't really understand how they happen. And so the ancient lineage that we're in has an idea about that. And they say that if you understand it clearly, then you could make anything happen that you wanted, right? And then you can include most people that we speak to, the first thing they want is financial security. Maybe they're in a very poor country like Vietnam or Ukraine or something like that, and they would like to have a more comfortable life. You know, that's about the number. It's like Maslow's triangle, right? People need food before they can meditate. So a lot of people will ask, how can I reach financial stability in my life? And then after that, people want, if you have money but you're not healthy, that's a problem, right? A lot of people ruin their health getting money. And then when they've got the money, they're too old or too tired, or they have hurt their body with ulcers or heart attacks. And so to enjoy prosperity, you need to be healthy. So a lot of people will ask about health things. And then if you come home and you're healthy and you can do yoga for 3 hours, but you're alone, it's not much fun. You know, you have a nice gym in your house and you have lots of money, you have a big house, but it's an empty house and there's nobody else there. Then that's also not fun, it's lonely. It's lonely to cook for yourself and eat by yourself and have no one to talk to. Everyone would like to have a partner. Most people in the world, you know, if a partnership goes well, it's the greatest source of happiness in the world. So how do I find a partner? And how do I keep a partner? And how do I keep the partnership from going bad, you know? And then naturally, you can see wealthy people like Warren Buffett, who bought our company, and Bill Gates. Or they naturally, once they get money, and if they're still fairly healthy and they have relationship that they want, then they gravitate towards helping other people, right? And that seems to be a human need as much as food or, you know, housing or health, that we want to help other people. We want to make other people happy. So they begin to give their money away. I saw a video on the movie on the plane. Warren Buffett has given all his money away already. he's already willed it all to various charities, a lot of it to Bill Gates' charity. And he has not left his children much, like very, very little. I think it's $30 billion, and he has given his children in the thousands. It's nothing. And they interviewed the children to see if they were pissed off. And they were like, well, that's the way he is. And we respect it, you know. So I think after you're set with your health, your money, and your relationships, then I think you naturally your thoughts turn to providing that to other people. So then, I don't know, this format of civilization has been around for maybe 50,000 years, right? The current format, trading, science, literature, music, these things have been around in its current format about 50,000 years. And the population now is higher than it's ever been, 7 billion people, right? And each one of those people struggles to make a living, and each one of them wants to have a relationship, and each one wants good health. These are human rights, almost. People want these things. Then they are getting them by certain methods. They are working for the money. They are searching for a partner. They are exercising for health. And then, you know, you can debate the kind of exercise, or you can debate the financial system that you should use, or questions like, should I go to a club or should I look on the internet? You know, these are what the 7 billion people are doing all day. They are trying to acquire those goals, and that's what they want, the happiness. They would like to be happy. And it's a huge enterprise going on. 7 billion people interacting to make money, to get housing, to have a nice relationship, to stay healthy. And 7 billion people are waking up. I don't know why this vision of the sun crossing the face of the planet, like you see it from space shuttle, you know, you see the line of night and day crossing the world, and I can imagine all the people waking up. The line crosses their country, and then they start to wake up. People wake up. Then almost everybody puts a foot out of bed, and they touch the foot on the ground because they want something. You know, then I've said oftentimes, I know some very depressed people, very, very wealthy people, some of the wealthiest people in the world. And they're so depressed they don't get out of bed the whole day. And I'm like amazed, and I talk to them and I say, well, how can you stay in bed the whole day? And they say, there's nothing I want, you know, there's nothing. I don't hope for anything. There's no reason to put my foot out of the bed, right? The rest of the people they step out of bed slowly or faster, they get out of bed. And then they go do something, because they want something, right? And that's human, that's the human activity, that's what we do. And in this system, we believe all of that activity is mistaken. It cannot bring the result that you seek. Okay? It is fruitless. The actions you undertake are not related to acquiring the things you want. They're wrong. They're mistaken. Are you too warm? Are you okay? Not too warm? Okay. How many people are too warm? Raise your hand. I don't know. You want to crack them a little bit, and then it'll be too cold and we'll close them. I guess it's just a warm day. Or maybe it was Mira's class. So in this system, there's a completely radical and new way of acquiring the things you want. Okay? And I'm going to demonstrate it. Okay. So first, I'm showing you how to teach this thing. Okay. If you have only half an hour with somebody, then you would say, "I'm going to introduce you to some new ideas, and just play along with me, and let's see where it goes, and see what you think." You know. So then you pick up this thing, and you say, "What is this thing?" And the people say, "Pen." You know. Each country has its own. It's a perro, or it's a Bleistift, or it's a, what do the Chinese, bee, you know, and they say pen, and then it's a standard thing, and you should learn it. And then I say, okay, if a dog came in the room, puppy, and it walked up here, and I waved this thing in front of it, then what would it do? And then people all over the world, they say, you know, I say the puppy would chew the thing. Then you say, well, does the puppy see this object as a pen? Yes or no? Doesn't see it as a pen. Sees it as something to chew. All right. Then you can say, who's correct, the dog or the human? I think you can say both, right? I mean, you don't have to be a philosopher. The dog can see a stick and can chew on it, and then it pleases them to chew on it. And then a human likes to write with it. So you can say that at the same time, one object to two different beings can be two different things, right? That's possible. Mm. Then the question comes, what if I leave this object here on the table and all the people leave the room? All the humans leave the room, and all the dogs leave the room. There's nobody left in the room. At that time, which one is it, a pen or a chew toy? At that time. Then all over the world people go, you know, ничего, nada, you know, it's nothing. Wu, wu mi, wu fo, it's nothing. And that's emptiness, okay? So there's people struggle with the idea of emptiness. You know, people all over the world have struggled with the Buddhist idea of emptiness. And they've done weird things. They've stared at walls. You know, they've closed their eyes and stared at the black behind the eyelids. And they have tried to think about nothing. And they've tried to see the world as an illusion and think it doesn't matter what I do. These are all mistakes, okay? These are all very sad mistakes. They aren't useful. It's not useful to stare at a wall all day. And it's not helpful to anyone to pretend they don't exist or something, or they do exist. If they punch you, you get a broken nose. That's pretty real, okay? So then, but this idea of emptiness, you can use it, you see, to gain the goals that you dream for in your life. You can have the things you want. Why? Then you have to ask people. I ask them to raise their hand. Okay, raise your right hand. You know. Then I want you to show me with your hand whether the pen is coming from the pen or whether the pen is coming from you. Okay? If you think it's coming from the pen, you have to go like this. If you think this thing is coming from you, you have to go like that. So we'll take a vote. You ready? Go. yeah, okay. So then you get people comfortable with that idea, you know. So it must be coming from me because the dog sees a chew toy, right? If it were coming this way, if the pen were coming from the pen, then the dog would see a pen, okay? If the pen were in the pen, the dog would see a pen. The pen must be somehow coming from me, right? Then why do I see a pen and why does a dog see a chew toy, right? Why are we asking this question? People always ask me, should I invest my money in stocks or should I buy a building? Which thing should I do? And I say, well, if you buy a building and it succeeds, if you make money, it's something in you that makes it make money. And if you invest in stocks and they make money, it's something in you that's making the stocks make money. Okay, they have to get used to that. People have to get used to that. Then you say, well, why does a dog make a chew toy, and why does a human make a pen, and why does one person see their company fail or their project fail, and why does another person see a very similar project succeed? What is it? It must be something in the person's mind. And we call it a seed, right? There's a seed in your mind. If you have that seed in your mind, your project will succeed. Ideas will come to you that don't come to other people because of something in your mind. There's some kind of seed in your mind. You want to be creative. You want to invent new things. You want to excel. You want to be different. You want your life to be a success. But it's coming from you. Okay? Things are coming from you. All right? From some kind of seed in your mind. And some people have that seed and some people don't have that seed. And some people have a seed to want to chew this thing, and some people have a seed to their mouth waters when they see this. And other people think they want to write a poem. And I suppose there are amazing people who look at a pen and only consider it an object for changing the world. Like great writers, or they know. They see a pen and they see like a nuclear weapon. They see something with which they could change the whole world. Naturally, they just see that. Okay. Then the big question becomes, how do you plant the seed in your mind? Right? Like, okay, so if I could see an invention that no one else could see, or if I could create a dance that would please thousands of people, how would I plant that seed in my mind? I want that. I want to be able to create a dance that pleases thousands of people. I would like to create the next generation of solar technology or something. I would like to be a creative person. How do I plant that seed? Then there are certain principles of the seeds, right? The main one being that whatever you want, you have to plant the same kind of seed. If you want a mango, you have to plant a mango seed and not a apple seed. That's just the way it is. And that's good luck, right? Can you imagine a world where seeds produce fruits at random? You know, I don't know why I always see Wilcox, Arizona, and I see all the ranchers sitting around at, what was that Mexican restaurant? Salsa Fiesta. I can see the cowboys sitting around Salsa Fiesta. Hey, Jed. You know, they're eating like enchiladas, and they're like, so what'd you plant this year? I planted corn, you know. Then there's this pause, and say, well, what'd you get? You know? And he's like, bananas. I got bananas again, you know? And bananas don't grow too good around here. You know, I got a whole 3,000 acres of rotten bananas, you know? And I always see that vision in my mind. I don't know why. So we're lucky. It's an extraordinary kind of karma that we get what we plant, right? They call chitun. Chitun means there's a consistency between the cause and the result, right? If the cause is a mango seed, then the result is a mango tree. That's just the way it is, okay? It's actually not just the way it is. That's also a result of seeds, but we won't get into that. So then at that point, you know, people are sort of intrigued all over the world. They could be Russian, they could be Vietnamese, they could be Egyptian, you know. Then they're like, they start to get an idea in their head, like, maybe I could plant what I want in my life, you know. They start to give hope. Because all your life, your mom told you, just, you know, they don't think this way. Life didn't make much sense. And you ask questions, and then at a certain point, your mom said, just shut up, you know. Stop asking, because that's the way it is. You know? And then people, some kind of spark comes into their eyes, and they're like, maybe I could make sense of the world, you know. And they're like, then they start yelling at you. Well, how do you get money? Or what's a seed to plant for a husband who will wash the dishes? Or, you know, weird stuff. Everyone's throwing, I want to start a, you know, latex chemical company. What's the seed for that? You know, people start throwing you weird requests, you know. But that's the first step, okay? It's always the first step. And I would like you to write down four steps, okay? And these are universal, okay? They are the same. They're always the same, okay? Step number one. In a single short sentence, say it what it is you want in your life, okay? In a single short sentence, say what it is what you want in your life. Then I tell people this all the time. They send me a paragraph. And it technically, it only has one period in it. And that's not fair, okay? Like, and if you want five things, then choose one of them. Do an experiment. Do a reality experiment, you know? Plant. Go after a single thing that you want, the thing that you most want. Decide what it is among the top three things that you like to have. What's the thing that you most want? Say it in a single sentence, short sentence. You're like, I want a boyfriend, or I want to be healthy, or, you know, I want to have $1 million, or I want to stop the war in the Middle East. You know, that's what I want to do. Okay, choose one thing and write it. That's step number one. Okay, these are a takeoff on Shisamba Jorotartu. These are from the 4th century A.D. Basubandhu. Choose what it is you want. Now, number two. Step number two. You cannot plant a seed by yourself. It's not possible. It doesn't work. There's no such thing. Okay? You cannot plant a seed by yourself. You need other people. You need somebody else. You must plant the seed with somebody else. It's the only way. And they must be seeking what you seek. Because mangoes make mangoes and bananas make bananas, okay? So you must find a person. Let's say you want money, okay? You want to be comfortable. You want to have as much money as that you could ever have. You just have money and you don't worry about it. Your credit cards are covered, you're not in debt, you have enough money to pay all your bills, you have enough money to do things you want, help people you want. It's not an issue. Money's not an issue for you. You're not obsessed by being a billionaire, but you always have sufficient money, and you never have any financial problems or stress. Okay, so I would like that. Then, according to this system, you must help someone else to make money. First, the word first, right? You must help someone else first. And that plants the seed, right? That plants the seed. I want to be more creative. Then what? Oh, that's a difficult example. I would like to be more healthy. Do Ashtanga or do Iyengar? Pink grabs lipstick or red lipstick? Right? Fight with your husband or roll over? Stick up for your rights or be sweet and just do what he says. Which one works? Which one works? Neither. Sometimes you stick up for your rights and he listens. Sometimes you stick up for your rights and it gets worse. Sometimes you roll over and he listens. Sometimes you roll over and it gets worse. If something works sometimes and doesn't work other times, don't buy it. It doesn't work. If someone sells you a car and says, this doesn't work on Tuesday, then don't buy it. That's all. I mean, human beings are extraordinarily foolish. Okay? They will continue year after year to do something which only works some of the time, rather than finding something that works all of the time. It's extraordinary. If you got on an airplane and they said, sometimes they fly, sometimes they crash. If you got on that plane, you'd be a fool. You're just a fool. It's just foolish. It's not healthy. It's not smart. Okay? Stop. If a course of action only works sometimes, then stop doing it, because that doesn't work. Like aspirin, people take aspirin. It's amazing. They buy a bottle of aspirin. They come home. Then after 3 days, they get a headache. They open up the bottle. They take one aspirin. They sit down. Why? They want to see if it's going to work. That's so funny. And then if it doesn't work, what do? They take another one. Then you go up to three, and then you're like, maybe I'm going to hurt myself. And you stop, and you just live with the headache, right? And I never heard of anybody that went back to the pharmacy and said, three of these pills didn't work. You know? Okay? Whatever cures a headache when you take an aspirin is not in the aspirin. Okay? This is a very profound implications for science also. We're giving a program at Princeton on in March, about quantum physics and physics, and it has these ideas have great application in quantum physics and science in general. What makes the aspirin work is obviously not in the aspirin. Okay, there's some outer influence which makes the aspirin work. That's not inside the aspirin. Okay? Then that's easy to say, oh, karma, you know? You have karma for the aspirin to work, or you don't have karma for the aspirin to work. Then that doesn't help anybody, you know? Unless you can standardize how the karma can be inserted into the aspirin. You see, if you can show me a standard method which you have proven works. In British Air, when we got to British Air, I forget the guy's name. He was like, we call him Metric, because he kept saying, metrics, we want metrics. And then finally I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what metrics means. And he said, measurable, measurable. We want, can you measure what you're talking about? And can you give us a standard procedure that if we try it, we will get what you're talking about? Then I said, I think so. Let's try. So first would be, decide what you want. Okay, make a single sentence. I want a boyfriend. Let's say boyfriend, okay? I want a boyfriend. Then step two is find someone else who wants a boyfriend. Or find someone else who is lonely, you see? Generically, you want companionship. So provide it to someone else. Plan your attack. That's step two. Okay? Consider who you will make less lonely. Take some time and decide. In your family and friends, among your family and friends, scan them with the radar of your mind and see who's lonely. You know? I like to tell people, go to a nursing home. You know, they're so terribly lonely, okay? You walk into a nursing home, they get them up because they want them to sleep at night. They force them to get up. And they make them leave their room. In many nursing homes, they're required to leave their room. And they have to sit out in the sun or in a garden. And they can't move. They're too old to move. So there's whole rows of old people. And then you walk down a corridor in one of those nursing homes. And it's like very heartbreaking because they reach out to you like this. You know, they just want to touch a person who's got a lot of life in them and who's not about to die, you know. And they just reach out and they want to touch you. It's very sad. It's like you walk down and you feel these hands on your body because they just want to touch somebody who's still got some life left, you know, because they don't see anybody during the day. Just some, the workers who clean their poo-poo and stuff like that. And those people get very hard very fast. The job is very difficult. It takes a lot of lifting. And the pay is the worst in the world. And so they get, a lot of those people get very abusive because they're angry and they're frustrated. So they don't see, a person in a nursing home doesn't see any normal, happy people ever. And so go there, make a friend with somebody, right? If you want a boyfriend, plant the seed in a nursing home, because those are the loneliest people around. There are also lonely children. There are lonely people at your job. There are lonely, once you start looking, it's sort of overwhelming. At first you tell, people will sit there with me in a meeting and they'll say, I don't know any lonely people. They'll say, look for a week and get back to me. You know, and then suddenly they got a list of 300 people. And they'll say, okay, don't go crazy. Just take one, you know. Who's most lonely? And then make a plan in your mind, you see. This person is lonely, then I will do something for them, okay? Like, then what? Step number two is the planning. I will help someone who needs what I need. I would like companionship. I will find someone who needs companionship. Find them. Think about it. That's number two. Look for them. Number three. Go help them. Okay, hands on. Go to the nursing home. A lot of the things that you want can be gotten at Starbucks. I like to mention Starbucks because there's Starbucks all over the world. We said in China it's like Shimbako, right? So let's go to Shimbako. And a lot of times step number three is best done at a coffee shop. Like someone wants money, right? Somebody wants some money. And plan. Step number two, think about someone who needs money, someone else who has financial troubles. That's step number two. Then step number three can be done at Starbucks. A lot of step number threes can be done at Starbucks. Take them out. Take the person out. Sit them down. You pay for the coffee. You pay for the tea. You know, take them out like once a week or every 2 weeks. You know, just say, I heard you're having financial trouble, so am I. Let's go out, let's talk about it. Then take them out and just talk about it. You don't have to solve their problems, right? Slowly you can, but not at the beginning, okay? So just listen, because they just need support, okay? Step number three is listen to them and give them support. You know, my husband abuses me, my husband hits me. Then take her out, listen to her, give her someone to be a friend, okay? That's step number three. Step number four, a lot of people ask me. Step number four is really, really important. Oh wait, let me go back to step number three, okay? Sorry. Should I do that? No, we'll do it later. Okay, step number four. You know a lot of people who plant good seeds. You know people who have been generous in their lives. You know people who help lonely people. You know people who help alcoholic people. You know people who visit the elderly and they have not found a partner and they have not gotten millions of dollars. And okay, you know those kinds of people. And it throws doubt on this whole system, right? And it's natural to doubt it, and you should doubt it. In this system, you're supposed to question and be critical in your thinking. You're supposed to ask, you're supposed to bring up counterexamples, okay? My mother gave money all the time. She didn't get rich in her life. My sister helps lonely people in the nursing home. She can't find a boyfriend. You know, like that. You should bring up those examples. Then the response is, they created the correct seed. They got up to number three. But they didn't care for the seed properly, and it withered. Okay, so what is? You can almost say that step number four is the most important one, right? It's a no-brainer to say if I want money, I should help someone else make money. If I want companionship, I should offer companionship to someone else. But there's all these examples of people who did that and didn't get the thing. So step four is important. Step four is the proper nurturing of the seed. If the seed is not taken care of, it will not produce its result, or it will be very slow. So slow that you can't confirm that the system is working. Okay, or it will just be a small result. It won't be a major result. Okay, number four is crucial, and it's the difference in a lot of cases. Most people are good at heart. Almost everybody on the planet really wants to help other people, and they try, and then nothing happens. Okay, so what is step number four? It's the best way to take care of the seed. And that's, we call it coffee meditation. And that's a long story, and I'm not going to tell you. It came from an incident with my teacher, my Tibetan teacher, which is a long story. It's a funny story, but we don't have time. but basically, he would say, like, make yourself a cup of herbal tea, come home, eat your dinner, watch some TV if you have to, or do emails, which is the same thing. Then take a shower. Then put on your bedclothes, right? And then sit on your bed, or lean back on your bed, or even lie down and put your head on the pillow, okay? Think of the seeds you have planted in the last day or two. I went to the nursing home at 3 o'clock. Mrs. Smith was lonely. I read her a story. She told me the story about the cutest boy in her high school in 1943, which was her boyfriend, which is the same story she told me last week, but she forgot. Yeah, so you have to be willing to hear the same stories over and over and look interested, you know. And then what happened? And she smiled, and she seemed happy that she had company, you know. And just review the number three on your bed as you fall off to sleep. Okay? Review what you did on your bed as you fall off to sleep. The mind before you sleep is extremely vulnerable and open. And seeds can be planted, new seeds can be planted. And existing seeds can be fertilized and watered and given sunlight by reviewing something healthy and good that you did to for someone else, okay? Then that seed becomes extremely potent and extremely powerful. If, you know, in my company, in my responsibilities in the company, basically we took a $50,000 loan, and it became $250 million per year. Try to imagine an enterprise which doubles every year for 15 years. It means when you have 200 employees, by next year at that time, you have to train 200 more. And next year by that time, you have to train 400 more. And next year by that time, you have to train 800. Try to train 800 employees when you only have 800 employees. You know, and try to imagine an enterprise which doubled every year for 15, 20 years. You see? It's very hard to imagine. The income was more than Southern Arizona, than half of Arizona, okay? How? Step four. Okay, really. And people, you know, I almost prefer to teach people who never heard anything before. Like I'm in Beijing or I'm in, because they're like, okay, I'll give it a try. You know, and they actually try. And then they succeed wildly, you know. They go crazy. They have extraordinary successes, and then they come. Somebody made $1 billion. Somebody only made 20 million, you know. And then they get all excited. They're not Buddhists, thank God, you know. they just listen and they try it very naively, very innocently, and then they succeed, and it's very interesting. And they come to me with their boyfriends, you know, nursing home boyfriend, you know, and you know, and I'm happy for them, and I feel really happy, and they look great, they look wonderful, because it's stressful to keep doing something that you don't know if it's going to work or not. It's stressful to keep changing the lipsticks. And it's stressful to keep changing jobs and cities where you live and thinking that it might help or it might be better somewhere else when it has nothing to do with getting the thing you want, right? It's stressful to keep doing things that fail. It's stressful to take an aspirin and not know if the headache's going to go away or not. That's that. Multiply that times thousands and you have a human life. And it's stressful to live a normal human life and keep doing things that might not work and that you know they might not work. So you get this kind of, what do you call it? Do a small experiment. Write a single sentence. Today or tomorrow, write yourself a single sentence. You know, something you want in your life. And then think about, somebody asked me on the walk over here, they said, I need time. I want more time in my life. I would like to come to more teachings. My job is too demanding time-wise. I need more time. I remember Viet, right? Viet in Ho Chi Minh or Hanoi. Somebody asked him the question. This is a Diamond Mountain graduate guy. He did a beautiful job. He's up in front of like a couple, 500 Vietnamese people. And they're like, what's the seed for more time? And he's like, you know, and then you saw this thought come in his hand and he said, you have friends who are stressed, right? Yes. You have friends who have 4 children. Yes. Are they stressed? Yeah, I mean, 1 child is stressful. 4 is unbelievable, you know. And I did it. Once I told my friend, let me take care of your kids overnight. You guys go on a honeymoon. They went on a honeymoon. I paid for a hotel room. They had a honeymoon. They hadn't been away from the children for 7 years or something. Oh, my God. That was such a terrible night. And, you know, I had to entertain them nonstop and make sure they didn't eat any poison or hang themselves or run in front of a car. And it was so stressful. And then I said, okay, I gotta go poop, you know. And I went in the bathroom, I closed the door, and they're banging on the door, you know. And I'm like, how? My mom had 4 and no dad around, you know. And I'm like, man, you know. So Viet, in front of all these people in Hanoi, he said, choose someone who has a bunch of kids and tell them that you'll take care of the children for a couple hours. And the guy got sort of hot with him, and he said, no, you don't understand. I need more night time, not less. You know, I want more time, not less time. And he said, no, you don't understand. You have to give away what you want. And that's why human beings suffer. Because it's so, it's so against human nature to give away what you need or what you want, right? You want time. The last thing you would do is give away some of your time. You want money. The last thing you'd do is give away some of your money, you know. You want the attention of a boy. The last thing you'd do is go to a nursing home where there's no boys to give you attention. You see what I mean? It's against all human nature, and that's why we continue to not have the things we want. You see, it's very interesting. So you have to fight your human nature. I want more time. Then set up ways to give more time to someone who doesn't have enough, right? That's number 3. Then go home afterwards and lay down on your bed before you sleep and say, I did a good thing today, okay? I did a good thing. I wanted more time in my life. I'm too busy. So I made some time to give another busy person some time so that I could have more time, right? I really want a boyfriend. I desperately want a boyfriend. And rather than, what do you call, skulking around clubs, trying to find the one nice boy there, you know, I went to the nursing home, you know, and I'm trying a new method, you know, and then I'm happy. What I'm doing, the attempt to find a boyfriend by helping a lonely, elderly woman, I'm happy for this insight. You know, as you go to sleep, you know, see her face, see how she felt, see how you felt, review it. That's putting fertilizer on the seeds. That's giving the seeds sunlight. That's watering the seeds, okay? If you don't do number 4, the seed is just put on a table. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to sprout. And that's why all your friends who've been nice people didn't get what they wanted, because they didn't know about number four. You are required in this system to go home and be glad about the good things you've done. My lama went to a Catholic church. We were supposed to give a talk. The priest walked us down the aisle. There was a, what do you call those things? Confessionary? Confessional. You know, this one priest went in the side and this lady went in the other side. My mom was like, what are they doing in there? You know, and the priest is like, she's telling him all the bad things she did this week. And he said, that's good, that's healthy. Then he looked over on the other side of the cathedral and he said, where's the other one? You know, and the priest is like, what do you mean? He said, where's the little room where they go in and tell the priest all the good stuff they did last week? You know what I mean? And they're like, the guy's like, you know, he's like, I thought he was going to rip off the idea. I was wondering if Rinpoche copyrighted it or not. But why isn't there a room where you go in and tell the priest all the good things you did this week, you know? And then he congratulates you. Maybe he hands you a biscotti through the little, you know, something like that. Positive reinforcement. Okay? So in this system, that's crucial for the growth of the seed. And it's fun. And it's pleasant. And it's a beautiful way to go to bed. And you sleep soundly. And you have good dreams. And you wake up ready to help more people in the nursing home. You see, it's an extraordinary system, right? Then something happens. You do it. My lama forced me to go to work. I was very upset. I was very angry. He forced me to try it in New York. He said, you go to New York and see if this stuff works. You start a company and see if this stuff works. And I said, couldn't we just do it here? You know, I have to go to the worst place in the world and every day on the bus. It was 2 hours each way, you know. And I'm like, please, Rinpoche, don't make me do this. You know, he's like, you got to check it out. You got to see if it works. This is a laboratory. You have to go see if it works. Then if you do one, if you do one and it works, then you can do step number three better. Okay, now I'm telling you the last thing and that's it. Okay, so step number three can be done in a better way. Step number three can be done in a way that works better. Much, much, much more powerful. Okay? While you're at the nursing home, helping the old lady. And I do it, right? Nick, he's compete with me with my old lady. He's trying to rip off my old lady. It's not going to work, okay? Find your own. No. Anyway. Nah, it's okay. But I still have one. 20 years, right? She's great. While you're there, in the back of your mind, you can have bodhicitta. Okay, what's bodhicitta? Bodhicitta means, here's bodhicitta. You want the short definition of bodhicitta. I'm helping this old woman in the nursing home. If it works, and if I get some really hunky boy who's also intelligent and loyal and affectionate and washes dishes and everything, you know, if it works, what I'm trying, other people will ask me, what the hell are you doing? You know, I'll bring him, the guy, to, you know, dinner with all my girlfriends, and they'll be like, he'll go to the bathroom and this big conversation will start. You know, like, where'd you find him? Where's the club? You know, or what kind of lipstick did you, was it Lancome or was it Estee, you know, what's your secret? And then you'll say, you know, Greenville Nursing Home, you know, and then they'll all be like, you know, we are looking for a younger boy. And, you know, then you will say, no, seriously, I heard this guy, he gave a talk. He advised to try to do that. He talked about some seed thing, planting thing. And I tried it, and it worked. And frankly, it works. And I can attest to it. You see, if you're going to do this, if you're going to teach this system well, you have to have a few successes under your belt, you see. You have to be able to say, look, I tried it. I went to New York City. I tried it. I made $250 million company. You can look it up online. It's jewelry.com. They own jewelry.com, okay? And it works. It worked for me. You can be like those guys at 11 p.m. on the small TV channels, and they're like, it works for me. The really, who's the Star Trek guy? Captain Kirk. He's like 90 years old. It works for me. you know, and you can, there's a kind of, what do you call it? People can hear conviction. People can hear conviction. You know, if you say, if you look some one of your girlfriends in the face and you say, I got the guy quite consciously, I designed him. I designed all the parts of him. He has a good job because I help somebody with their finances. He's loyal because I've been loyal to my mother. You know, he washes the dishes because I've been careful washing the dishes. I've designed each facet of his personality and his behavior, and he's perfect. You know, and he's not a mistake, and he didn't just come to me. I made him. I created him. Or it could be a company, or it could be a next project you want to undertake. In this system, you're not going out and hoping something good happens. You are creating it. It's very interesting, okay? You are creating it, and you can. And what would that... Oh, so the bodhicitta thing comes in like this. You're sitting with, you think, if this nursing home thing succeeds, I'm going to teach my two girlfriends how to do it. And then they'll get boyfriends too. And then they will teach their friends. Because their friends are going to ask them, how'd you do that? It's been 5 years. You didn't even get a single date, you know. Now suddenly you got this guy, he's like perfect. You know, and then it will spread, you see, by nature. If you get something nice, people will ask you, how'd you get that? And you'll say, you know, I went to the nursing home. And then they'll say, okay, I'll try it. And then they'll succeed. And then it will, what do you call it? It's fission, right? It's a chain reaction. And you're in the middle of it. And I said the other day, we were in Bulgaria, right, Sophia? And we were sitting around the table, and they're all getting excited. They're saying, let's have a revolution. We hachim revolucija, you know. And then they had this vision that these three ladies sitting around the table would all get good boyfriends, and then six, and then 12, and then, you know, and it would be this big boyfriend revolution would sweep across Bulgaria, you know. That's bodhicitta. That's bodhicitta, okay? That vision is bodhicitta. You go through all these stupid books and all these Tibetan definitions, and it's right there. You know, I want to create a small revolutia. You know, right here. By example, and not by teaching. Because example is 10 times more powerful, right? They see you have a foxy girl. They're gonna say, "How did you do that?" You know, they'll believe you. They see the jewelry.com, or they see $250 million. They'll say, just, I believe you. Tell me what you did, you know. So that requires, unfortunately, that you do it first, right? So let's review what you need to... People have been coming to me all week, right? They either have a problem or they have a dream. Or sometimes the dream is to get rid of their problem. And here's the four steps. Just do them, okay? One sentence, what do you want? Second, plan, locate, put up your radar, and find a person who wants something similar to what you want, okay? That in itself plants extraordinary amount of seeds. The more time you spend planning your attack at the nursing home, then you've got thousands and thousands of seeds before you go to the nursing home. Okay? And people don't understand that. Okay? You have to plan your attack carefully. And sit around all day and plan the trip to the nursing home. Well, I'm not telling my secrets, Nick, but I mean, okay, I'll stop by the store. Fry's is across the street. It has a really good flower department in the back on the right. And I'll get her some flowers, you know? Then I'll make a reservation at, okay, it's called Vincent's, it's on Camelback, and 40th, okay? They have a cheaper, what do you call it, brunch thing. Then I'll take her to Vincent's, you know. I'm talking about the old lady, right? And then I'll, she really likes to have her bougainvillea clipped, like every other month. So I'll clip her bougainvillea further. I'm giving him everything. And then if you sit there before you go to her house, planning it in your mind, before you go, you've planted thousands and thousands of seeds, right? Buddha said 65 seeds per conscious second of motivated thought. You're planning the trip to Fry's Market for the flowers. You already got 650 seeds that you didn't have if you just drop by without thinking about it, without planning it, okay? Then afterwards, today I took her to Vincent's for her Pinot Noir, okay? She likes Pinot Noir. But not too much because it's not good for her. And, you know, then that's 650 seeds again. On your bed at night, the day after, I took her for the Pinot Noir. And she had a good time. And the tuna melt thing, okay? Then, okay? And then now I have a question for you. Do you plant more seeds being at her house? Or do you plant more seeds before and after?
Before and after.
It's before and after. And that's what most people are not doing right. People are basically good. People are basically helping other people. They don't plan their attack correctly, and they don't sleep on it afterwards. I'm giving you the secret to life. You can get anything. Money, relationship, health, and you can change the world, okay? Because of number three, right? While you're at her house, you have to fantasize about what would happen if everybody else in the world started taking care of all the old people. Then I say it's like 31 flavors, okay? 31 flavors in Baskin-Robbins, whether it's in Tokyo, right, Nemo, or Phoenix. There's an ice cream shop, right? It's so popular that you have to take a number. Then you have to sit there and wait for everybody else to get their ice cream, right? I think later the nursing home will be like that. You know, you say, I want to see Mrs. Hancock. She's busy. You know? When could I see her? It'd be like a dentist, you know? Come back in 3 weeks on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. But if you're late, we'll charge you $500. My dentist charged me for he got tired of me canceling because I went to China, and he said, I'm charging you. When you don't come up, you're paying for a root canal. When you don't come, you're paying for a root. It cost me a couple thousand dollars, okay? He's a really good dentist. He did this diamond, okay? Why do I put a diamond there? You don't know. But anyway, plan it. And then think of what could happen in the world if everybody believed that the best way to get a boyfriend was to befriend an older person. You see, what would happen? The nursing homes would be popping, and those people wouldn't be sitting there trying to touch somebody. They would have Nick would be waiting outside, you know, for me to leave. You know, and the world would change, right? Everyone would have enough money. Everyone would have good health. Everyone would have a beautiful relationship. Just a side note, after you get the boy, don't give up the girl, right? I mean the old lady, why? The seeds are used up when the boy walks in your door. The seeds that you planted are used up when you meet him. When he writes you the first three poems on the texting thing, you just used up Mrs. Hancock for like a week. Then if you stop, he will lose interest. Or he'll find another girlfriend. Okay? Or he'll say, you know, I can't believe you don't like spaghetti or something. Something will go wrong. Okay? You have to keep going to Mrs. Hancock. It's a pyramid scheme. And it's a, what do you call it? Like Verizon. It's like, yeah, like you have to keep subscribing to the next thing. Okay? You have to keep going. Take your boyfriend and go visit her. And then your relationship will be tight and it'll get better. If you play your cards right, as the years go by, your body changes, you know. I can do ballet now. I couldn't do it at all when I was younger, okay? All right, your relationship will get sweeter and sweeter every year, more and more profound, more and more majestic every single year, okay? Keep, if you get money, then give the money away, and more will come. And you just get more money every year. People send you money constantly, you know? And you have everything you need, okay? So that's what we do at DCI, okay? That's what we do. We go to other countries. We lock them up for 3 days, and we fill them up with this stuff. We make them do yoga and meditation, and everybody teaches. Tad taught a wonderful thing. Where were you? In Singapore, you know? And yeah, I mean, everybody goes. Lun Shan did awesome in Taipei, right? Awesome. Completely awesome. Ula was up in Vienna, right? And like that. It's cool. She was in Kiev. Ib, Sophia. Yeah. Anatole's in Vancouver advising these billionaires on how to make more money. And you know, so anyway, that's all I have to say. Tomorrow I'm going to put up a list. Rob and his crew are going to put up a big poster. It will have 150 cities on it. They'll also have a small game plan letter that you can have, okay? But I want you to pick the top three cities you'd like to help. If you'd like to help, if you'd like to come, we can train you to do this shtick all over the world, and it's so wonderful. It's just so wonderful to go to, we were in Beijing, the first day everyone's like this. You know? And you say, what's this? And they're like, you know? And then, really, really, it was very hard. It was really hard. It was like freezing. And then, on Sunday, you know, Sunday afternoon, they're all way, way, you know, and they're all hugging each other, you know, they're all like hugging each other, and like, you know, and all over the world, it's a very beautiful thing to do, okay? So we want to open it up to people because we need help. We have too many invitations, and we're all getting sick. We're flying like tens of thousands of miles, you know, and they're just collapsing. You know, it's too much. It's too many places. It's 150 cities want people. We can visit 7, 10 in a year. And if you don't come back for 3 years, they kind of forget who you are. So help. Learn to help, okay? You have to finish your ACI courses. Because otherwise you're like a person in Mexico and you don't speak Spanish. You see what I mean? You don't know the language, you see? You can't teach. You don't have anything to teach. If you can't describe these methods clearly, if you can't answer people's objections and questions because you've studied a lot, then you're not so helpful. You know, then you have to do the bookstore and other boring stuff. Okay, so we'll have two lists tomorrow. There'll be one list with the next ACI course you should be doing. Is that possible from here? Yeah, okay. Then there'll be another list of 150 cities, and pick three of them, and say, I'll help. I'll help in three cities, okay? And they had a good time, right? He had a really good time. She had a good time. The Guangzhou people say, we want Mira. We want Mira. I said, no, I have other yoga teachers. No, we want Mira. You know, they want you. Christine Walsh, the last talk, she had 800 people sign up, and she's a star. Everybody can be a star, okay? It's very beautiful. In Guadalajara, they have, you know, they just exploded, you know? So all over the world, it's amazing. You can do, okay? So we need help. We need people. So you pick three cities, and we'll give you something else. you know, and then you got to finish your courses, because then you can really help. If you have two courses, you can describe this system. If you have five, you can go into detail. If you have 15, you can answer tough objections from people. And obviously, we'd rather have those people with us, okay? So you got to get through those courses. And that's my dream, you know? And then you can really help people. You can really, really help people. Okay? You have this, the skills, and you have the you have the chance. So take it while you have the chance, right? And we need help. Okay? And you're not going to get rich. You won't pay money bills at all. Trust me. Okay? It's not, don't think of it that way. It's not a job. Keep whatever job you have. Whatever way you're getting money, keep it up. Because we're not going to make you rich, okay? I mean, you have to do that. Okay? But it's to help people. We go to many countries where they don't pay, or we end up paying for them. Like in the Ukraine, I think we paid, I don't know. We lost money, and then we do that a lot of times, okay? So, all right. You have a half hour break, and then Eden's going to tell us about her ideas about solar energy and some ideas about how you derive your creativity. But most important, you have to tell us what to do next, because we don't know. So you got all these talented people, but they don't know what to do. So you got to give us some advice. Okay? Good? I don't think so. It's only a half hour break. You ready, Mom? Okay. Buddhi Jushi Neto Tram Rira Ningshi Inde Yambadi Sangye Shindu Nite Huwagi Drogunam Da Shima Jupasho Yes, sir.